Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to episode 22 of season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes, part of the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. This is George Soroy. Thank you so much for being here. And we are definitely entering the home stretch of this challenge. And I hope that you have been enjoying all the other shows that have participated in this challenge. You'll be hearing a lot more chunks of episodes from me. I was playing a lot of catch up for this particular year. I was not as on the ball when it came to recording one episode per day. But at the same time, I'm very happy with the output I was able to generate. I hope you have enjoyed these little stories behind the scenes of my history in writing, working on various things for the stage and screen. A lot of these different projects didn't go anywhere, but there's always potential for some to get revived in different ways. Speaking of being revived in different ways, one particular idea that had gone through many different iterations is what would eventually, it's what started as a story called Manhunter. That was back in 1995 when I just happened to be walking around Amsterdam Avenue on a weekend right after seeing an episode of Wrestling Challenge. And I was very taken by the concept of the over-the-top characters and situations in professional wrestling and all the different storylines actually being a part of our everyday life. And what would that be like? And so I kept on picking at it, and then eventually in 1998, I wrote it as a video game concept. The next year, I thought, well, let's see how it is as a treatment, and so I wrote that. And then it was, let's see how it is as a script, and I wrote draft after draft of that. It was a very interesting journey for this particular story. And after several drafts, I went ahead and changed the name from Manhunter to Submission, and I changed that after I had won the Best Futuristic Drama Award given by the New York International Independent Film and Video Festival. I thought that that was going to be the start to getting everything going as a writer. But that wound up not happening. I had no, and I would probably say still no, idea how to properly market myself. And so I wanted to just see, like, what else I can do with this story? What other venues can I do with it? And that was when I decided I was going to write a novelization of the screenplay. I remember sitting at my desk, and I started putting together a cover letter. I did not call it Submission. I did not call it Manhunter. I called it From Parts Unknown. And that's when I stopped and just said, huh, From Parts Unknown. I put in there based on the screenplay Submission by George Soroy. This was going to be a novelization of a screenplay, a movie tie-in for something that had not existed yet. I started working on it and putting together a little prologue that showed the story of the main character, Stephen Barker, who wound up actually being born at the same time that the 1997 Survivor Series would take place. And for those who are not as familiar in wrestling lore, the 1997 Survivor Series was the culmination of a rivalry between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. And this wound up opening up the door to what would later be called the Attitude Era. Shawn Michaels put Bret Hart in his own finishing move, the sharpshooter, which was a submission hold. While he had that locked in, Vince McMahon called for the bell to ring, which ended the match and gave Shawn the WWF championship. And what he did was, this was done in a way to make sure that the title stayed with the company instead of with Bret Hart, because Bret Hart was about to go to WCW and
start his 3-year contract there. It was a very volatile experience, and it's something that started a new era of wrestling, and which wound up really ramping up what would later be called the Monday Night War between WWF and WCW. And so I thought it would be really funny to have our main character, Stephen Barker, be born at that same time and also give a moment for the father to say, wait, I want to see what happens. And the mother basically yelling at him to get all the stuff and get over to the hospital. It created a little funny moment, but at the same time, it kickstarted what would be this novel. There were about 50-something pages, maybe 40-something pages, that would take place before any of the original script was put into play. That was an interesting experience, being able to go into the backstory. And as I was writing it, I was just like, oh, this is fun. This is good. I'm having a lot of fun with this. I worked on that book for over a year, from March 2001 through July 2002. There was even a point in September when I realized I had a lot of vacation days still to go. So I decided I was going to take Monday through Thursday off and be back in on Friday. Since Fridays are always a day to catch up, everything was very casual and loose going on that particular day. So I thought that that would work just fine. The days that I wound up taking off were September 10th, September 11th, September 12th, and September 13th. September 10th, got a lot done. September 11th, not so much. That was the day that I was woken up by my roommate telling me that there was an accident at the World Trade Center, that a plane had wound up hitting it, and they didn't know what was going on. And then my mother called, and she asked, are we okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm staying home today. I'm not going into the office. I already have this day off, and I had yesterday off. And then everything seemed okay. But as soon as I hung up the phone, the second plane hit. And all of a sudden, everything had changed. Our world had literally changed right then and there. So I obviously did not get very much writing done the rest of that week. So I allowed things to kind of unfold as they did. But eventually I got back to the writing, and I wound up being very happy with the result. Once I was finished, I sent it over to a gentleman that I will be talking about in the next episode. It'll be a little bit of a backtracking, but it will be an interesting one because I'll be going a little bit further into a writing assignment that I wound up doing for someone else, which was its own adventure. But I had reached out to this gentleman because I knew he had decided to get away from being a writer, producer, and get into being a literary agent. I read to him and sent him my copy of From Parts Unknown. He said he'd like to take a look at it. And when he got back to me, he said, well, it's good, but it seems like it's plays to a very niche audience. Have you ever thought about self-publishing? And at this time, self-publishing in 2002 was very much that was the time where everyone was just like, you can't do self-publishing. It will kill your career. You'll never be taken seriously as a writer, etc. And in fact, there was a small section about self-publishing in the Complete Idiot's Guide to Publishing Science Fiction, which said exactly that. It said that you will destroy your career as a writer. It's looked at as the last gasp for a writer. You're never going to be taken seriously. You have to pay to get your own writing out. And then sure enough, several years later, what do we have? We have the Complete Idiot's Guide to Self-Publishing. The setup for everything expected of a writer is very different. But I decided to take the plunge. I just wanted to see the book in a finished form. I came across iUniverse, which gave me the opportunity to not only get the book set up through them for only $200, but also get a free upgrade to hardcover. So that, I thought, was a really interesting experience. Overall, for what it was, I was glad that I did that. I was glad that I got it out there. When friends and family got their copies, the book had pretty much died. But at the same time, I kept on picking at it. In 2005, I did another draft of the screenplay with some assistance from my friend Charlie Kessler, who gave me the idea of saying that the government would be the one subsidizing this company, this promotion. Since it's going to be the last remaining sport in America, why not go ahead and do that? So I went ahead and did that and was able to pepper in some different elements from the government, have a more unseen entity chiming in every now and then to give their thoughts on how things are unfolding. Then later on in 2010, I reached out to iUniverse and I asked them if they had any promotions going on. And they said, if you purchase 25 copies of your book at 50% off, we'll give you a free upgrade to an ebook. And so I took that deal. I got a bunch of copies and then I waited and I waited and I waited. Months pass, no ebook. And then finally in 2011, early 2011, when the ebook for the first Excelsior book came out, and this was the first printing of the book, it would later go through quite a few more manifestations, a couple of different editions, and now it's almost completely different from what it was when it was first published. I was advised to see if I can get the rights back from Parts Unknown from iUniverse. When I called them up and found out that there were no plans to turn it into an ebook, I asked them if I can get the rights back, and they let me. So we were able to dissolve our partnership and I was able to move on with the rights to From Parts Unknown. I decided I was going to go through the whole setup, strip it down to its bare essence, and then build it back up as something else, something much bigger, something much better. And the final result would be something that was released as a 5-part serial. Back once it was completely finished in 2017, it would be released again in 2019 as the full omnibus edition, because originally I had it set up for 2 books. It was parts 1, 2, and 3 set as 1 book, and then parts 4 and 5 set up as another book. Now I decided I wanted to combine it all into 1 big book. So it was the complete 5-part serial, all 5 parts in 1 volume. And I went ahead and set that up myself as well. But in 2023, my new publisher decided that they wanted to hear a pitch from Parts Unknown. And I was really happy to provide that for them because I felt it needed another boost, another redo. And sure enough, it's getting that redo right now. In fact, parts 1 and 2, I've already gone through a round of editing. And I just need to finish my edits of those 2 parts because they're going to be set up as 1 book. And then parts 3 and 4 are going to be set up as a 2nd book. And then part 5 is going to be its own monster as the 3rd book. There is quite a bit of cleaning up to do, but overall, the editor likes the story. And so that part was left alone. In 2026, I hope we're going to see the beginning of the relaunch of what is now completely From Parts Unknown. Whatever iteration it winds up being, in book form, in audio form, in film, in television, whatever it winds up being, in streaming, it will forever be From Parts Unknown. No longer Manhunter, no longer just Submission. It is From Parts Unknown. And so that is the story of where From Parts Unknown is currently and where it's in the process of going. So kudos to that agent for giving me the option of self-publishing. So I was still able to retain the rights to it while getting it out there in the world. It's its own monster, and I am just glad that it still not only exists, but will be sent back out into the world better than ever. I'll be talking a little bit more about that particular agent as well on our next episode. And until then, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.